everybody, Tim Evanicki here with The College Audition, back again with another episode of The College Audition Podcast, here today with my special guest, Marcus Lane, Head of Actor Training at the University of Montevallo. How are you today, Marcus?
I'm doing very well, Tim. Thanks for having me on. I appreciate it.
Oh, our pleasure. As always, we like to get to know the person before the program. So if you could give us a little bit of information on yourself and your career and training that has led you up to your time at the University of Montevallo.
Sure. I had kind of a, I guess, unusual path. I didn't go straight into theater in college. I had parents who were like, no, you're going to get a real job. And basically what that led me to was not doing well in college, dropping out for a period of about 5 or 6 years, where I went and kind of acted in the DC area. I tried to cut my teeth and while having day jobs at the same time. And eventually I worked a contract out in Ohio, and the director there also taught at another college and asked me what I was doing with my life. I'm like, well, you know, I work here and I go do this and I do that. And he said, what are you wasting your time? You know, this is what you need to be doing. You need some formal training. And talked me into going back to college, and I had a great time. I was ready to go at that point. I was paying for it myself. And I guess that really made a difference for me. But really, for me, it was that particular teacher who maybe opened a door for me. I always kind of thought of myself as an actor up to that point, not as a teacher, not doing fight choreography, not doing any of that kind of stuff. But that investment from one person kind of got me on my path. So I finished out my undergraduate degree and then got into grad school. And really in grad school, I had my first chance to teach. And I was like, this is it. So I'm, you know, I'm from all over. I didn't come to the States until I was about 9. DC would kind of be home. That's where I spent the most of the time as a young adult, and where I cut my teeth in the theater scene. I've had my equity card for about 23 years now. And I love it. I can't imagine my life without theater in some capacity.
And how long have you been at Montevallo?
This is my 15th year.
Wow. That's great. Amazing.
I love it here. It's crazy.
Yeah, no, that's great. So tell us about, first question, what is the degree or degrees that you offer in at Montevallo?
So we offer Bachelor of Arts, Bachelor of Science, both in theater, which is more of a generalist style degree, but we also offer BFA degrees in musical theater, acting, and design tech.
So when I introduced you, I mentioned the title Head of Actor Training, and I think that's a first for a title. We normally hear Chair of the Musical Theater Department or Head of Theater or something like that. So tell us a little bit about how the program is set up and what role you play in that.
Well, you know, the program itself, there's 4 of us who actually teach performance-based classes. All of us have a varied experience. So even though I'm the head of actor training, I would say probably 60% of my resume is musical theater. And while I'm not heading the musical theater program, I work in tight conjunction with Dr. David Callahan, who does that. That basically I coordinate the acting sequence here, of which all of our BFAs take. It doesn't matter what your specialty is in. So you will definitely have to deal with me at some point, which I hope is a wonderful pleasure for everyone. But I kind of guide us through that process. I'm a point person a lot of times on the recruiting. Our program really puts a primary emphasis on acting. It doesn't matter if it's a BFA in acting or a BFA in musical theater. Our first go-to is always acting. You know, what separates singing, say in a choir or in an opera, from what we do? And for us, that key is really acting. So I've been really lucky. We didn't necessarily have that title until, I guess it was about 4 years ago, that they kind of approached me with this idea, you know, coordinating theater and running or heading up this program. And because a lot of times I do a significant amount of recruiting as well, having that title there really kind of helps. It's what I do. It is the main focus of what I do, and being able to talk to people about what they'll take in the classroom, our approach to teaching it, and how it's pervasive through all of our degree tracks. Mm-hmm. Is really what I do.
So speaking about the BFA degrees in acting and musical theater, in your own words, sort of give us your elevator pitch. 60 seconds or less, I tell everyone, but I never time them. Give us just sort of an overview on why people should be looking at or your thoughts on your approach to training.
I think the really key to our approach is it's individual. And what I mean by that, there's no mold. You're not going to come in and we're going to try and fit you into some shape or some way that you have to do it this way. We do have a cohesive technique. I'm not saying we don't engage technique. What I'm saying is that we look at the individual, see where they're at, and then cultivate their strengths, and then hopefully continue to build on their weaknesses as well. The goal here is really having people walk out so they can play leads. That when you look at this person, they're not just filling in a background space. They're a unique, gifted artist that you want to seek and see in a primary function on stage. That's our goal. That's what we do. We work with individuals.
And within the department, tell us a little bit about the crossover between the acting and musical theater programs, if any.
Sure. You know, I think a lot of programs, they become mutually exclusive. You can only do this or you can only do that. We don't really function in that manner. That yes, if you're on a musical theater track, of course you're taking dance, voice, your acting class, music theory class, you're doing all of those things. But when we get to the performance aspects and the other things we try and offer you in your training, because not all the training happens in the classroom. In fact, hopefully a significant amount of it happens outside of the classroom in our studio spaces. That it's not mutually exclusive. So what I mean is, you know, you might be a musical theater major, but you find yourself, you know, cast in a play or working in a small film or doing all of those kinds of things. And we encourage it. We really come from a place of, you know, work gets work. And really when you're training somebody, it's not just the techniques of performance, but it's also really this progressive moving forward of finding a way to do multiple. And, you know, and if you're a musical theater performer, if you come here, you're going to know how to act. So going out for straight plays and those kinds of things is baked into the pie. The reverse with our acting students is the same way. You know, they take a musical theater class as well, learning some basic movement and musical styling, shall we say, even if not the most comfortable of singers, just because we know work gets work. And being more marketable is really kind of the name of the game right now.
Tell us, let's imagine that I am a freshman, let's say I'm a freshman musical theater student heading toward Montevallo. What is my first year on campus sort of look like?
Well, I think if we start kind of in our program, one of the first things we're going to do is, you know, we do major minors meetings, we check in with you, it's a mentoring process that really will engage. So that first week, you'll be engaging with all of your professors. We'll definitely have a lot of things to get to know you as a person. So an example for me is I'm only teaching one of the beginning acting classes this semester. We have three. I know everyone in those classes. And I wish I could say, not I wish I could say, I would, you know, say that I'm not uncommon in our program, that there is really an effort to get to know all of the students, which is interesting because, you know, we're not the smallest of programs currently. You know, we're right at 115 majors. So not necessarily a smallish program to get to know everybody, but that's what we do here at Montevallo. And I would say that's not just pervasive in the theater program, that is Montevallo itself. You know, their motto that we're kind of using right now is you belong at Montevallo. And I think that across campus, they take that seriously. So right from the get-go, there's this idea of open doors, come in, be seen. We want to know who you are. And that happens not just in events in the theater department, but actually across campus. It kind of leads into our culture on campus is a little bit different than a lot of places. And maybe it's skipping ahead a little bit, but I think it's really tied to the answer to this question is, you know, our homecoming event isn't sports. It's dueling musical theater. It's a 100-plus-year tradition here on this campus. The students divide themselves into the purple side and the gold side, and each side writes, produces, composes, directs, and produces their own musical. We bring in judges, and they have a fierce throwdown. It is one of the craziest things I've ever seen. It's one of the reasons why I actually chose to work here. And it's easy to say, oh, that's the theater students, but it's not. You know, this past year, I believe it was a math major who did most of the composition for one of the sides. An English major who was a co-director for one of the other sides, that what we see is this really across campus, and we're not a huge campus, you know, we're right at 2,300 students. And it's just, it's home. I think that's really what it is. It's home. And we're not for everybody too. I'll be honest with that. You know, we're a smaller school, but I think once you get on campus and you see us, you know if we're right for you or not.
So talk to us about the basic classes that a freshman is going to be taking when they get there. What does everyone have to do?
So everybody, regardless of major, is going to take, regardless of track inside the major, is going to take stagecraft and acting one. If you're in musical theater, you're also going to take some form of dance. Usually it's ballet one, and your private voice. Those are guaranteed in that first year. You are definitely going, actually your first semester, you're going to do all of that. Musical theater, second semester, you'll take the follow-up of the sequence of whichever dance you were taking, along with your private voice. In the acting or performance track, we're going to have you take movement one and voice one in the spring. In design, you're going to take a class called Fundamentals of Design. These are our foundational courses. So by the time that really you finish that freshman year, you've hit the prereqs for the next set level of classes. That by that point, you should have a really good working vocabulary. You should have good interaction and connection to your professors who are mentoring you in that process. You should know how we work and we function and the expectation. And that really, by the end of that first year, you should be able to clearly see your path for the next 3 years.
And when they're on campus and they're taking those required classes within the major, how much room is there for them to take things outside of the major or to even within the performing arts to sort of have more control, choose your own adventure?
Yeah, you know, I think the least amount of wiggle space we have is in BFA musical theater. You know, right now it's one extra class. Everything else in your major is geared straight to performance. You will not have room for a minor unless you elect to take extra classes. Now, I've had many students do that over the span of their time here. It's basically one extra class each semester and you have your minor. So plenty have done that. In the acting track, there's actually 7 extra credit hours, or about 2 extra courses that we really encourage you to keep in the theater area, really kind of focusing in on one of our specialty classes. So like I'm teaching one in the spring, that's a contemporary drama class. Basically what that class is about is looking at and reading and engaging material from young and emerging playwrights, different backgrounds, different worldviews, and making sure that once again, as you kind of progress through here, you have a broader view than just maybe the traditional canon. And so we would encourage you to take a class like that. Mm-hmm. In our design tech, you have a little bit more room. That one, you have approximately 3 classes. And once again, we encourage you to stay in the BFA areas and taking more advanced classes, and especially the area you're interested in, which can include stage management, arts management as well. In that, in our BABS tracks, you actually have a significant amount of space, enough room for a minor. And if you are not on the BFA track, but you have that multiple kind of view, you don't have to have a minor here. It's actually one of the things I kind of like. That allows us BA and BS students to really look at all the classes we offer. You know, we're not restrictive except for the places we have to be. So we all have a limited number of vocal spots. So really you have to be in musical theater BFA track to have private voice. But other than that, if you've met the requirements to take a class and there's a seat, we're going to get you in that class. So you could be on a BA or BS track and end up in an acting 3 class, an advanced styles class, if you've met the prerequisite. And once again, we see that quite often too, even though we keep those numbers kind of low, you know, those average class sizes are about 6 students once we get to that level. But it's really kind of nice because on that BABS, we have people who have a wider variety of interests. So maybe they're taking several acting courses along with a couple of directing courses and some management courses. So they have a broader kind of view of what they're doing. But our BFAs are truly, they're streamlined as pre-professional. The goal with those ones are you're ready to walk out the door and work. That's what we're trying to do.
So you just mentioned voice lessons for the musical theater kids. What are they guaranteed as far as voice lessons go?
Well, if you're on the BFA musical theater track, you are guaranteed one lesson with Amy Murphy, who is our vocal instructor, every week. Plus, you will also have additional rehearsal time with an accompanist every week. So really, we're looking at about an hour and 15 each week with dedicated time for you, as well as the expectation of you coming in and working in our practice rooms. Like, there is that expectation that you are working on your craft outside of that time. In fact, I won't say it's the biggest requirement, but is we're looking at moving forward or continuing somebody on a degree track. That's one of the things we really look at. Are you improving in between your sessions and putting the work in? And that is a clear expectation here. So you'll have that, but it's not just that. So I think kind of the examples earlier today, I met with two separate students at different times, each 30-minute sessions. To coach some audition vocal material for songs that they're working on for A1s. And that's pretty common. Mike Walker, who's the chair of our program, Dr. David Callahan, who's the head of musical theater here as well, we all spend time working individually with students outside of the classroom time. And the only requirement is really that you request it and we find a scheduled time that works.
So, what about on the dance side of things? The question that we get asked all the time is there any sort of placement as far as when you get there for a student that's been studying dance their whole life? Are they able to level up in the dance classes?
Well, I think if I was going to say the place where we might be the weakest as a program, I would have to say is dance. So, I mean, and not that we're bad, that's not necessarily what I mean. But I mean, if you've been dancing for 16 years, 15 years of your life, we will keep you at that level. But maybe the idea of maxing up past that while you're here is probably not going to happen, truthfully. A lot of the musical styles that we do, the music we choose, are not super dance intensive shows. And currently we don't have a full-time faculty member in that position. We're in the process of trying to remedy that. And I think once that happens, then maybe my answer to that question changes. But for right now, I always want to be honest with people that I'm kind of working with. We are a good solid dance training program. If you've had 5 to maybe 10 years worth of experience, we're a good spot to land. You can level up from there. But if you've had 15, 16, you're really good at a multiple or variety of different styles of dance, and I say good, like you can really audition with them, we might not be the right program for you.
Is there a dance department there outside of the musical theater program?
No, there's not. There is some dance programming through exercise and nutrition science. But it's most of that's social dance oriented, which isn't bad. We've had students go out and take it. I've taken the ballroom class there too. It's a lot of fun. So there's social style dancing over there, but all of our musical theater dance training happens in our department.
Mm-hmm. Great. Tell us about the performance opportunities while they're there.
Cool. So basically we do four main stage shows a year. It's usually two musicals, two plays. We also do a one-act festival every year. And on top of that, we usually do 2 to 3 readings. On top of that, we also bring in alumni on a regular basis to do in-class readings as well. On top of that, a lot of our classes have performance outcomes in them, so you'll be performing as part of that class. So next semester, I'm actually teaching Musical Theater Styles 2. And that we will be performing a cabaret associated with that class. That will be a public performance multiple times. So I think it's 4 performances in different venues across campus.
Are there student-led productions or organizations on campus as well?
We do. We have something called the Theater Student Organization, or TSO. They do produce. They did Firebringer just last semester. And actually this weekend, they're doing a new works play festival that actually happens this weekend. It's 5 new plays that are between 10 and 20 minutes long. It's incorporating, I think, 37 students. And I hesitate to say fully realized in that they didn't have big budgets to complete the work. However, their costume props, they are doing it. They are actually doing the shows that is student-led. We have a lot of those kinds of opportunities where for students who really want to be active, which is really the kind of student we're seeking, honestly, the what's next kind of student, that there are those types of opportunities as well. And our student organization, the TSO, every semester has at least two that they're trying to do that are performance-based, development-based, kind of projects that incorporate a large number of students.
Mm-hmm. And what about any acting on camera or in front of the camera type experiences? That's a question that we're also getting very frequently these days.
You know, I think where I'll tell you where we're at, and then I'll probably talk a little bit about where we're kind of heading. We don't have a film program here currently. Actually, just hired a new professor this year who's starting a film program. So in conjunction with our communications program, we'll start cross-listing a little bit more. We do offer acting for the camera here. We do a lot of training for that, but we're not a film school. I mean, that's really when you kind of come down to it. However, the community here is, once again, a really interesting community. Currently right now, I think we have about 10 students who are active filmmakers. Mm-hmm. Who participate in, here in Birmingham, we have a festival called the Sidewalk Film Festival. And they've all exhibited work. It's a very vibrant, small community here in Montevallo and up to the Birmingham area. And it's very rare that if there's a student who's studying with us who wants to do film, that they don't have two or three experiences prior to leaving us. It would be unusual. But as far as the formal kind of training, you know, we really have one class that trains that and two classes that reinforce it. But that's about to change with the addition of this new faculty member, which I think we will see a lot more.
You've mentioned in passing a couple of the other faculty members there. Could you tell us sort of who the students are going to be working with regularly? I think you mentioned Amy Murphy as a voice teacher.
Okay.
And just tell us who else the students are going to get to know there.
Well, there's Amy Murphy, you know, is our vocal instructor. Fantastic. Has a studio here in Birmingham as well as her studio in New York. I believe she currently has students on Broadway and on the West End. You know, I came down here. I used to work at the City University of New York, Kingsborough. I was the coordinator of theater up there before I moved down here. And she, for me, she's a breath of fresh air. She's like being back home in the city, you know, has a clear idea of what she wants. Great vocal styling, awesome teacher, and really gets into the idea of mentoring and opening doors for students, which every kind of professor I'm going to talk about here in just a moment really, really does. So that's her. Next would be Dr. David Callahan. He's the head of our musical theater training. And once again, he's great. I think that I kind of joke, I'm a little more blue collar-y in my kind of attitude towards things and how I engage them. He's a very cerebral approach. And it's one of the things I love is kind of the difference between the faculty members here. He has been here for almost 20 years. He was the head of the program for a number of years, the chair. He stepped down recently. He's on the board of directors at Red Mountain, which is a Tony Award-winning theater company here in the Birmingham area. Very vibrant and engaged in our local community. And he's like kind of the rest of us. He kind of actually, you know, he helped me when I first moved here really learn that one of our most valuable assets are our alumni. You know, and they don't have to be famous to do that. But just in our region, it is amazing how many people are engaged. And he did that. Our current chair is Michael Walker. He's our new chair. He's been the chair for a little bit over a year. I'll probably share too much. Michael's great. I love him to death. He was my first roommate in New York City. it's crazy how life works sometimes. He was also an undergraduate student when I was doing graduate studies at the University of Alabama. He was in the first play I ever directed, actually. Mm-hmm. So it's kind of cool. He is another Actors Equity member like myself. He played Edna on the national tour of Hairspray for a long, long time. He really takes his craft really serious. And like I said, he's just another one of us that really believes in the investment in the individual. That, you know, we're not trying to kind of, everyone has to look like this or do that. It's really trying to cultivate that. And the performance faculty here really does that. And the only other performance faculty we really have here is actually our theater history professor, Dr. Bart Pitchford, who also has a performance background and does direct as well. He's kind of got a great background. He's a military veteran, really is involved in refugee projects and hearing voices that maybe don't normally get heard. He's a Middle East specialist. So I know that it's helped in our curriculum to have him here because we're being exposed to even more writers that maybe we just weren't familiar with or stories we didn't know about. And so that's kind of, in a nutshell, those are the performance-based faculty we have here. We have some great designers here. Our stage management professor, who we just hired, arts management, is a former Broadway stage manager. She worked on the Rivals. She worked on, it just went out of my head, Light the Piazza. There we go, at Lincoln Center. And she's in the process of writing or making a new BFA in arts administration for us as well.
Wow. Impressive sounding faculty. Well done. So let's talk a little bit about the actual campus and the location of the campus. Our listeners have probably extrapolated at this point that you're in the Birmingham, Alabama area. Yep. So tell us sort of what kind of campus is it? Is it an urban campus, sort of more rural, suburban? Talk to us.
Yeah, we're definitely more rural, but I don't want you to think that we're way rural. So what do I mean by that? Well, I guess what I mean is you drive 4 miles east of here and you're back in full-on civilization. That would be Alabaster, Alabama. We're 30 miles south of Birmingham with all the amenities, and literally we're right off the highway about 8 miles. We are a beautiful campus. We are routinely listed as one of the most beautiful campuses in the South and also in the country. Our campus was designed by the Olmsted brothers, who made Central Park. It's a fun, yeah. The architecture here is like, you step out of, I think, the traditional idea of South, or what the South might actually be for a lot of people. And I think if you look at some of the New England style campuses of liberal arts colleges, that's really what we look like. We're small, we're friendly, we're open, green spaces, green friendly. It's a beautiful campus. It really, really is. And like I said before, we're kind of small. We're about 2,300 students. So it's really easy to get to know a lot of people on this campus because you just kind of run into them all the time. The town itself, there's places to eat. It's not huge by any stretch of the imagination. But like I said, about 4 miles down the road, you have all the Starbucks, Walmarts, all that kind of stuff that you can want. While you're in town, though, we have places like Baba Jalava, which is like a locally owned coffee joint. We have local pizza joint. It's very family friendly or personal friendly like Navarro's, which is a local grocery store that caters to our Hispanic community here in town, that really they get to know you as you come in the door. And I think that that's, once again, that's kind of what Montevallo is. I walk in to the restaurant across the street, the Alabama Coach Company or the Main Street Tavern, and you walk in and, not just the people who work with the university know you, but the people in the city kind of know you. Mm-hmm. It's really kind of crazy. I'm also the liaison to the city of Montevallo for the university. So I'm getting to know a lot of people across the city. And it's just amazing to me, my son has an event, I go to the event, and how many people know my name and engage me. And it's not because I'm a talkative person. I believe it or not, it's we're talking. On my own, I'm a little more of a recluse. But it's just a friendly, quiet area. I don't want to say slow-paced because the theater department's not slow-paced, but perhaps the city is a little more slow-paced. Mm-hmm. I had to make a big adjustment moving here from New York City. I'm used to let's get a house. Here we go. Apartment now, today. We're going to look at it today and have it tomorrow. And it wasn't quite that way. I think I would say it is a little slower than compared to a lot of places.
And what about getting to and from the university? That's actually come up a lot. It's a question the parents are all asking now. So I'm assuming you fly into Birmingham. Mm-hmm. How far is that to get to the university?
It's about 32 miles south. Depending on traffic, it could take 30 minutes or it could take about 45 or 50, just depending what time of day you're coming in. If you're coming in the morning, it's a lot quicker. If you're coming in the afternoon, you hit the afternoon traffic. So that's kind of how that one works.
An Uber ride is what that takes. Great.
Oh, yeah.
Let's switch gears now and talk a little bit about the application and audition process. Tell us sort of how that works for you.
Well, we do it a couple of different ways. So you can do it through our website at montevallo.edu/theater. You can do that there. Just click the links, follow it. You can do an online submission. That'll take care of your audition for the program, and then you still need to apply for the university separately. But if that's the case, what I would say, if you're watching this and you're interested, reach out to me personally, because you know a lot of times if you're someone who's interested, I try and find ways to get rid of the fee that's usually associated with applying to a college. It's something we want to kind of alleviate everybody from. And another route that you can go through currently is Accepted. We just started doing that this year. I wish I knew a little more of the ins and outs. I just got briefed on it last week. But it is another way that you can actually submit your audition material to us in a very quick, concise way without having to physically come to campus to do so. But in addition to that, we also do 3 in-person times during the year that you can schedule an audition and come in for us.
So just to clarify, there's live audition opportunities on campus.
Yes.
And you can also now submit a virtual audition by uploading the audition requirements by video through Accepted.
Yep.
Yes, great. And do you travel to any other cities ever to do your auditions?
We do. We travel to, basically we're going to go to 4 more combined style things this year. Mm-hmm. Of course, we're going to the College Audition Project, Georgia Theater Alliance, and Florida Theater Conference, I believe, are the 4 we're going to this year. And all told, we'll probably see upwards of probably 1,200 students total. Mm-hmm. It just depends from year to year, but that's pretty close to the number we'll see. We tend to be a little bit pickier, or maybe I'll qualify. I tend to be a little pickier when I go. I think there is a type of student we are kind of looking for. I kind of mentioned before, like a what's next kind of hungry, person who really wants to do the work and is willing. And, we can tell that sometimes just from an audition before we get to chat with them. But sometimes it's in the chatting, that a Florida Theater Conference, which I did last year, was a good way to kind of engage that. So called a couple students back, but, had a couple that was maybe a little more on the fence about, like, I'm not sure, they're interesting, let's see, who came back and started chatting. And I was like, oh yeah, you are definitely the type of student who would kind of thrive here. Mm.
And what are the audition requirements? What are you looking for students to prepare for their auditions?
Sure. So for BFA acting, it's 2 contrasting monologues and also a video of kind of who you are, what you're about, and what your goals are. You'll do that for any of these other ones. You have to do that other video too. For our musical theater, there's a dance video, which we will send to you if you inquire and this is what you want to do, that has the audition sequence for it. We'll ask you to self-tape that. And then a minimum of 2 other songs that are contrasting in some way, shape, or form. I'm a big fan of contrasting in styles. Some people are more favorable of kind of that contrast of eras. But I think when you're choosing the material for us, is making sure the material represents you. Mm-hmm. Instead of trying to go, oh, well, what's the best song? I looked at all the things. We are interested in you, what you bring to the process. And so if you're selecting that material, submit to us. That's what we're really looking for.
Mm-hmm. And you mentioned that, chatting with a student, getting to know them. This is just fresh on my mind because someone was asking me this question earlier today. I think a lot of students feel like there's a formal interview that happens in addition to their singing 2 songs and doing a monologue. And I was trying to explain to them that in most cases that's not true. But, I tell a student that no matter what they do, as soon as they walk into the room, they want to be showing their personality and who they are. And, what are you looking for in the audition room that has nothing to do with the audition material that they're sending?
I'm a big fan of personality. That being, I don't want to say comfortable with who you are, because I could go back, kind of joked earlier that, I'm a little, when you catch me not in my element or not being quote unquote on, I'm a very reserved kind of person. My wife teases me all the time. I'm an introvert. But that someone who just has a joy about them, I think is really what it is. I talk a lot with some of our students about going back to that moment when this is what you decided you wanted to do. Like, it was magic. You saw it and it just, something came alive inside of you and you're like, oh my God, I have to do this. And I think finding that spark of joy in somebody when they're walking in, like, this is my chance to share it. And for me, before you ever open your mouth, before you ever tell me your name, I'm already interested. Because that kind of thing just, you know, it really invades the room. You can't miss it when it's there. And, you know, I think technique, we can teach you. You're going to get better when you walk out the door than when you got here if you go to any program. You know, the expectation isn't perfection, but I'm really, and we're really looking for that idea that you got to love it. You got to want to be there. You have to still get excited about it and have that joy. You know, that doesn't mean we're happy all the time. That's not what I mean. But, you know, there's that real just like, if I could only do one thing, this is it. You know, and that you just want to share that. And it is a presence, you know, you can see it, you feel it, you know it. And once again, if you can't tell, like when I see it, I'm like, name top of my list. I don't care if they're missing notes. I don't care. I want to follow up with them. I want to talk with them. I want to meet them. I want to know what their story is.
And how many students are you looking for an incoming class for both musical theater and acting?
Yeah, they're both relatively the same. Our musical theater fluctuates a little bit between 6 and 10. We usually target 8, but part of that is we have students who progress at different rates. So 1 year it might be a little bit less. We have someone who stays an extra semester, so that limits the amount of lessons we can offer. But most years it's about 8, and then actors too. I target 8, but I've had a class as big as 12, and a class as small as 6. I think that that's really a combination of, you know, really what shows are we looking at on the horizon? Who do we have? What do we have graduating? And really who wants to come to the school and do the thing? Yeah. You know, I think acting's a place where I keep pushing to expand it. You know, I'm the head of actor training. So, of course, I'm like, more, you know. But it's a place where... I can facilitate more. I'm not limited by a private lesson so much. So if we did have a year where I was like, dang, like these cats are awesome. Like we're taking 14, you know, we could find a way to do that. Still making sure that everyone has performance opportunities, making sure you're not coming here and not being used. You know, I think that's the other thing that I would really say about those two degree tracks, that part of the goal is if you're being offered that degree track and we want you here, we've already made the decision you're going to be used at some point, you know, that you're not going to come to this place and not be used. So that's kind of part there as well.
You mentioned earlier, and forgive my math, you mentioned earlier the program's about 115. So how does that break down then if you're only taking about 8 actors and 8 musical theater kids?
Well, you know, there's about a third of our students are currently, it's a little bit more, are on that BFA track. The rest are on our BA, BS track. And at any one time, you know, a number of those students who are on BA, BS might be seeking to get on a BFA track. You can do that while you're here. You know, you can come in your first year already on it, but you have opportunities basically throughout your sophomore year or maybe your first semester of junior year. To re-audition and get on. But usually as soon as we have a spot open up, we're able to fill it.
Got it.
Particularly in the musical theater track.
Got it. So Marcus, tell us if students or parents are interested in getting some more information about the program, what's the best way to get in touch?
I think there's 2 ways I would tell you. I think the first way is really theater@montevallo.edu. Just send an email right there, and one of us will get in touch with you. of course, you can peruse our website as well. It's an easy way to get some basic information, kind of our seasons, what we're doing. I like the personal touch. I like to get to know people. I like to not just see somebody at one audition. Right. I like to kind of develop a relationship. In fact, you know, that really having a minimum of 4 to 6 interactions, I think, is really kind of important. That doesn't mean that they're huge interactions, but it's, you know, maybe seeing them here, having some email exchanges here. We do a Zoom call there. We, you know, I get to see you at another event or you come to campus. I think that's helpful and beneficial in a number of different ways. So that other way I would say is go ahead and shoot me an email, mlane4@montevallo.edu. Like I said, I do a large portion of this recruiting. I believe in hands-on recruiting. I kind of joke about it. It's you recruiting. We want you because you belong at Montevallo. And that it's a process. I think as much as we are looking for students, the students need to really figure out if we're the type of place or type of teaching or the type of professors they can learn from. You know, I think the arts more than probably any other area, if you're not being taught in the way that you function or that you can learn, it's very detrimental, you know, that it can cause a lot of friction, a lot of unease and anxiety that just doesn't really need to be there. And you can find some of those answers out before you ever sit on campus by developing a relationship with whomever it may be. And, you know, the truth is right now, there are tons of wonderful programs out there. There's some really great instructors. So, you know, finding the place where you kind of belong is a big part of that. And that's why I say, you know, hey, I'd love to have three or four interactions at a minimum with you so you get to know our program, you get to know who we are, what we're about. And, you know, and ideally you get to come to campus, sit in on some classes, so you know if the way we do things works for you as well. But yeah, please feel free to reach out to me. I'm always happy to chat with people.
Well, Marcus, it's been great sitting and chatting with you today and getting to know a little bit more about your program there at Montevallo. And we look forward to seeing you real soon.
Yeah, I'm looking forward to it. I get to go down and see you all in, I believe, January.
January, Miami. Not a bad place to audition.
All right. I agree.
Thank you so much once again, and we'll chat real soon.
All right, thanks, Tim. Hope you have a good one.
Yep, you too. Bye-bye.
For more information on the exciting training, workshops, and resources we have to offer at The College Audition, please visit us online at www.thecollegeaudition.com or follow us on Facebook, Instagram, TikTok, and YouTube.